2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 8. I'd like to preach tonight on why should I give to missions. We talked in verse 7 about abounding in faith and utterance and knowledge and diligence and love. And Paul said, see that ye abound in this grace also, being the grace of giving to get the gospel to the regions beyond. And that is missions. When you get to verse number 8, he says, I speak not by commandment. In other words, giving to missions is not something that God just mandated and gave a commandment, but there were other motives that God had. So in preaching mission conferences for the last 35 years, sometimes people come to me afterward and say, where in the Bible does it say that I have to give to missions? And I tell them, it doesn't. You don't have to. So for forever lost, hell-bound Christian who does not want to give to missions, there's your loophole. There it is. If you want it, there it is. You don't have to. And I was talking to Brother Joel Logan after the service last night, and he said, I'll never forget the first time you came to Sweet Springs. He said, you got up and preached on Merry Christmas, you miserable Scrooge. I'd forgotten about that. Hopefully you have to. It's not a commandment. I speak not by commandment. So, I've been confronted by quite a few people about why it's not necessary for us to give to missions since it's not commanded in the Bible. And those who usually talk to me about that are usually in three categories. Number one, they're very worldly. And they want to spend their money on their homes and cars and clothes and shoes and purses and rifles and deer leases and bass boats and rods and reels and alligator boots. And I'm not against any of those things. I'm just saying you can always find ways to spend more money on yourself. It's not much trouble to think of something else that you really need. Especially nowadays when somebody sends you an email every day where they got the brightest flashlight that's ever been known to man. Can I get a witness right there? Yeah? Yeah? Anybody getting them emails about these flashlights? It'll just blind people if you shine them in their eyes. They use them for self-defense. Just turn it on, point it at their face, and you're safe. You can always spend more money on yourself. So they're either in the category of worldly people, or they're in the category of Calvinists. They don't want to give to missions because it's all predestinated and God's going to save who He's going to save, whether they give their money or not. So why give money to missions? Since it's all predestinated. But you know, if they'd read their Bible and just believe what it says that we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. And that's talking about once you get born again. Once you get born again, if you don't get born again, you're not predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. But if you ever get born again, you're going to be like Jesus whether you want to or not. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You get saved, he's going to fix you up. For it's all over with. You may resist and fight all the way from here to the grave, amen. And if you do, He's going to make such a change in you, even your family won't hardly know you. Now that's what's predestinated. He says, you get born again, you're going to be conformed to the image of his son. If anybody tells you anything else, amen, they're probably not going to give much faith promise mission offering. Because the reason that crowd comes and argues with me about it all the time is because I hammer them when I preach. I mean, I let them know what a heresy that is. Total depravity. Well, don't you believe in total depravity? Not like a Calvinist. They believe you're so depraved, amen, you can't respond. You're dead. You can't. You don't even have a will because you're dead. So I don't believe in that kind of total depravity. Unconditional election. God just picked. Nobody else had a chance. I don't believe that. Limited atonement. Jesus died for some, but not all. I don't believe that. Irresistible grace. If God starts dealing with you, you can't help. One guy illustrated it like this. When you hook that bass and start reeling him in, he said he may jump and he may flop, but you hear that hook set in there and you're going to reel him in. But you know, I've lost some bass between the strike and the boat. Huh? Anybody else ever lost one? So that's a poor illustration. Only a demented Calvinist would come up with such foolishness. Grace is not irresistible. We're told in the book of Acts they resisted the grace of God. Perseverance of the saints. Oh, you got to believe in perseverance of the saved. That's once saved, always saved. No, it's not. That's not what perseverance of the saints is according to the Calvinists. You know what they believe perseverance of the saints is? You're going to persevere because you were predestinated from before the foundation of the world. That's what they believe perseverance of the saints is. We don't believe that. Now, once you get born again, yeah, you're going to heaven. You're not going to mess that up if you try. We ought to be shouting right there, amen. Because some of y'all tried pretty hard. And you're still in the house of God, amen. So you ought to say, well, the Lord's sure been good to me, amen. I tried real hard there a few times to mess it all up. Yeah. Amen. It's good to stay saved. So I believe in eternal security. Absolutely. But I don't believe in perseverance of the saints like a Calvinist. So if they ask you, well, do you believe in total depravity? Say, not like a Calvinist. You believe in perseverance of the saints? Not like a Calvinist. How many of the 5 points that I just went over do you believe? Zero. None of them. Which is why that crowd does not believe in giving to missions. So you got worldly people. They use not having a commandment for their excuse. The Calvinists, they use not a commandment for their excuse. Because God's going to get them all anyway. And then you got the PBI crowd. That's the third crowd that gives me grief. And I know some of you's here, okay? So I'm not picking on you. I'm just telling you, I get more grief from the PBI crowd than I do anybody except the Calvinists and worldly people that are selfish and want to spend it on themselves. Now, you know why they have trouble with it? They say it's nowhere in the Bible. It's a man-made doctrine. That's what they tell me. They may not have told you that, but that's because you don't get up and preach about it. If you'll get up and preach about it, they'll start hammering you even if you went to PBI. They are at least equal opportunity condemners. So they'll say it's not in the Bible, and then I'll show them where it's in the Bible, and they'll say, well, that's not what that's talking about. They'll dispensationalize it or something. Even if I show it to them here in this chapter, New Testament, 2 Corinthians, to the church at Corinth, so I believe that's church age. Verse 10, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. They decided a year ahead what they were going to do for the grace of giving to get the gospel to the regions beyond. And he said, now, yes, what you said you're going to do, now perform the doing of it. That's doing it every Sunday, getting it done, getting it done, getting it done. That's how faith promise works. There it is in the Bible. I can find it in the Old Testament, but if they don't believe it in the New Testament, there's no use to me wasting my time going to the Old Testament. Right. Hannah gave what she didn't have to God by faith, trusting God to give it to her to give. That's faith promise. That's exactly how faith promise works. You don't have it. You don't have it tonight. If you do have it tonight, just go ahead and give it. But you're going to, by faith, trust God to put it in your hands week by week that you can put your faith promise in the offering plate. It's not a commandment. That's the three categories of people that usually are thankful that that part of that verse is in there. It gives them the loophole that they desire. But you see, they need to read the rest of the verse. I speak not by commandment, but you know why the billy goat's in there? So you won't latch on to that amen. You won't latch on to that not by commandment and use it for an excuse not to give. He's going to give you some other reasons why we ought to give to missions. But by occasion of the forwardness of others. Now, in other words, there are people who gave to get the gospel to us. Somebody gave. Or we wouldn't be sitting here tonight. Somebody gave to build this building. How many of you were here when this building was built? Would you raise your hand? I see one hand. Am I overlooking anybody? One was here when this building was built. In other words, the rest of you just kind of got in on the blessings. Huh? You didn't have to give for this building to get built. And I bet she knows some people that gave for this building to be built and for us to enjoy having Sunday services, mission conference, whatever's going on around here, somebody gave. That's the forwardness of others to give us a way to worship God and praise God. And we ought to, so he's saying one reason you ought to give to missions is because somebody gave missionaries to get the gospel to you. You say, well, it wasn't a missionary that brought it to me. Well, it was if you'll go back far enough. You just got to go back a little further. There was a missionary involved in getting the gospel to Alabama. There was a time the gospel wasn't preached in Alabama. You say, how do you know? Because the Indians didn't go around preaching the gospel. And that's who lived here. So, he said, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. The church at Jerusalem was a giving church. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Better read a few verses. Because another thing the PBI crowd gets on me about is they say, you do a lot of preaching, but you don't read much scripture. Yeah, I bet they wish I was doing more reading and less preaching. Because they usually don't like what I preach. But they ain't slowed me down much. Acts chapter 2, verse 44. And all that believe were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Chapter 4, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. I'm telling you, the early church at Jerusalem was a giving church. They were taking care of each other, and they were sending people out every day to take the gospel from house to house. And thousands were being saved because of their generous, gracious giving to get the gospel all over Jerusalem. So we ought to give because somebody else gave. Acts chapter 13, the church at Antioch was a giving church. So we looked at the Jewish church in Jerusalem. They were givers. Now the Gentile church at Antioch. You see, when Jerusalem kind of finally did drop the ball, they didn't send missionaries out like they were supposed to. God just moved the blessings over to the Gentile church. Acts 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Now, what I want you to see is they're a giving church because they're giving their best men. The church at Jerusalem were giving their houses and their land. Church here at Antioch was giving their best men to go preach the gospel. The forwardness of others. So really, the gospel got to America. This is where it started, was at Antioch. They sent missionaries out. The gospel went from Jerusalem to Antioch, which is moving westward. Fast forward about 14 centuries, it gets to Germany. Martin Luther's preaching the gospel. And people are being saved. Fast forward some more centuries, and the gospel gets to England and Scotland and Wales, still going westward. You go westward from there, and they sent missionaries to the United States of America. Amen. Missionaries started coming here. John Wesley and Charles Wesley and George Whitefield, amen, started coming here. David Brainerd came to America and preached the gospel, and they started reaching the unreached in the United States. Well, the forwardness of others for 2,000 years now has us where we are. So, it's not a commandment, but you know what? We sure wouldn't be a sorry, no-count bunch, amen, if we didn't carry the gospel forward to the next generation. After 2,000 years, a generation's got it to us. So it's not a commandment. If you want to be sorry and low down, no good, Scrooge, cheapskate, amen, selfish, help yourself. But if you want to be a Christian, you're going to give to missions. And quit making excuses. The forwardness of others. They gave their best men and they gave money for them to travel and preach. I won't take time to go to these other scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 talks about men who worked so that they could carry the gospel. I noticed Brother Townsend knew how to work. You know, there's a lot of preachers nowadays that couldn't make a nickel at the World's Fair if you provided them a dozen vending machines. Because they'd have to go around and unlock them and get the money out. And that's just more work than they want to do. If you're a preacher, please teach your children how to work. It's good if they can sing, but it's not enough. They need to know how to work. Work, that dirty four-letter word. Work. Maynard G. Krebs on Dobie Gillis used to say, work, because he hated it. He was a beatnik before there were hippies. Okay. Anybody remember that? There you go. I got more hands on that than I did amen on the building of this church. Acts chapter 18, more giving. Acts chapter 20, more giving. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, they're working. And Paul, he's a tent maker. Just like Ananias and, not Ananias and Sapphira, but whatever them two tent makers were named. Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted to get in on that giving thing. They wanted to make a faith promise because everybody else was giving houses and land. They had some land and they decided they'd give it where they could be spiritual. You don't give faith promise to be spiritual. It won't make you spiritual. It's what's in your heart. There, thank you. Aquila and Priscilla. I always get them mixed up with Ananias and Sapphire. So people gave so we could worship God freely in America. And by the way, that's being threatened too. They don't want us worshiping God because we're turning into an atheist nation just like England did. Our leaders are becoming atheists. And they're promoting perversion and wickedness of every description. Soon we won't even be able to say that in church without going to jail. The last woman who was hanged in this country was hanged because she wanted to have religious freedom. And the black hats had come from England and they were ruling the towns and they were in charge of the religious duties going on in those towns. They came to America for religious freedom. But the scoundrels that had taken the religious freedom away in England followed them over here to take it away from us over here. So they told that woman when her baby was born, she had to bring it down to their church and get it baptized, you know, get it sprinkled. She said, no, I don't believe that. I believe you need to get born again, then get baptized. They said, just bring the baby, we'll baptize it. She said, I'm not doing it. They said, if you don't do it, we're going to hang you. They built the gallows, led her up there, and hung her. It was the last woman that was ever hanged in our country was hanged because she believed she had religious freedom, and it was up to her to decide when the baby got baptized or if it got baptized, and she believed you don't baptize him until he got saved. I'm talking about people paid a price for what we believe. And there's probably somebody sitting there thinking, well, I wonder why she didn't just let them baptize. What difference does it make? Well, it makes a difference.
Yes, sir.
It makes a difference. Sooner or later, we're all going to have to take a stand.
Right.
Where are you going to stand? Where's the line that you won't cross to give in to their demands? So they hanged that woman. People gave so that we could have the Shady Acres Baptist Church in Houston. A widow woman, when we were building that auditorium, a widow woman gave the deed to her home. And Brother Wood sold it, put the money on that building. Because she had a little apartment that she could live in a lot cheaper than this house. And she was by herself. And she needed to downsize anyway. So she just stayed in the apartment. She just went to an apartment and gave her house. I'm talking about the forwardness of others. The forwardness of others. I'm not saying you should do that, so don't freeze up on me. I'm just telling you, there are people that have gone very far in this business of getting the gospel forward to others. Pioneer preachers got in wagons and on horseback and rode from the northeast to get to Ardmore, Alabama, to bring the gospel
the forwardness of others. They left their family behind, rode horseback for months. And after they had preached the gospel for a while here, whoever was here, then they crossed the Mississippi River and headed on to Texas. I'm talking about the forwardness of others. Oh, we've lost that daring spirit. We've lost that challenge of the gospel going to the regions beyond. I say thank God for those who have the courage to do that back there so we can be the Bible Belt today. Glory to God for those daring pioneers. Who are the daring pioneers today? The missionaries that will go to Nagasaki, Hiroshima. We had to drop bombs on them, amen, just to calm them down. Amen. I mean, they done bombed Pearl Harbor. They weren't going to stop there. They were going to take over. They'd have been bombing Los Angeles. They'd have been bombing New York City. But we had some politicians back then that said, we're not going to have this. Oh, what about the innocent civilians? That's why they stopped. They believe in ancestor worship. They weren't going to have anybody to worship them if we kept dropping bombs on their big cities. Who's going to worship them when they're dead? Nobody. But we were going to annihilate them if they didn't give up. They decided, we better surrender. Came out there. Actually, that guy, when he surrendered, they talk about him handing his sword over, but when they came out there, he was wearing his sword. Did you know that? And the American general wouldn't take the surrender till he took his sword off. Because he said, it's unconditional. Hand me your sword and we'll know you mean business. He took his sword off, handed it. That's what ended the Japanese part of World War II. I'm telling you, people don't have the stomach for that anymore. Well, what about the women and children? Well, what about the Bible? Where God said, kill the dogs and the cats and the cows and the women and the children and the men and everybody. Just kill everything and everybody, and then you won't have to fight them again. You start sparing people, you're going to fight them again. We fought the Germans in World War I. We fought them again in World War II. Iran, Iraq. We're going to be fighting them again and again and again because nobody believes the Bible anymore. Okay, done lost you on that one. I'm talking about our heritage and what people paid to get the gospel to us. So it's not a commandment. But since somebody paid the price to get the gospel to you and to me, we ought to be willing to pay the price to get the gospel to somebody else. It's a reasonable thing. It's a very reasonable thing. And then back in my text, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8, I'll wrap it up by that last phrase. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. You know there's a lot of people that say, I love you, but it's not sincere. Teenage boys are bad about that. So are middle-aged men. So are old men. So are women. There's a lot of people that say, I love you. There's a lot of people that tell the pastor, I love you, Pastor. Yeah, that's today. What about tomorrow, amen, when your daughter wants to have that big wedding in the church, and I say, no, no, no. No, y'all cause too much trouble around here. Not having a wedding here. Just rent the Civic Center down there. Have the wedding down there. Because they don't care what you do. I love you, preacher. When I say what you like. What about when I say what you don't like? He said, well, I didn't agree with that. I might not have agreed with it myself. You know, I preach a lot of stuff I don't agree with. Especially now that I'm getting older. I'll have Moses in the ark. My wife will say, you did it again. What? You had Moses in the ark. I said, didn't you ever read over there where his mama put him in an ark of bulrushes? She said, yeah, but it didn't rain 40 days and 40 nights like you were preaching. He just floating down the river. That woman's got an answer for everything. Don't start an argument with a woman. You're going to lose. And if she starts it, just let her go. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. So I do say things that I don't agree with. I tell the church at home, don't believe what I say. Believe what I meant to say. Because you know what I meant to say. I mean, when I had the rain in 40 days and 40 nights, they all knew who was supposed to be in the ark. To prove the sincerity of your love. You know how you prove that you love God? By giving. Those guys that come to me and argue with me about faith promises not scriptural and it's not in the Bible and we don't have to do that, blah, 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 blah. You know what they're really telling me? I don't love God. Because I'm not giving. You prove it by giving. How did God prove His love? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. He proved it. Do you love Jesus Christ tonight? Prove it. Jesus Christ Himself proved He loved you when He gave Himself for you. He gave, He gave, He gave. He gave it all when He went to the cross. Do you love souls? Tonight you get to prove it. You get to prove it. Adoniram Judson proved it. C.T. Studd proved it. He was a rich athlete. Gave away his fortune to missions and then surrendered and went to the mission field himself. A rich man. A famous athlete. A superstar. And he gave it all up to prove the sincerity of his love for souls. R.G. Letourneau, the caterpillar man. We were talking about him at the table at noon today. So I got the numbers with me tonight. I was guessing at them today. R.G. Letourneau in 1930 was $100,000 in debt in 1930. He bowed and he prayed and he said, Father, I want to ask you to be my business partner. My business is being destroyed by me running it. And he invited the Lord to be his business partner. And he said, I'll pray and ask you what you want me to do when I have a decision to make. He started doing that. 1930, $100,000 in debt. 1932, he made $52,000. 1934, he made $340,000. Now he's out of debt. 1938, he made $1.4 million. I'd say that was quite a bit in 1938. $1.4 million. In 1959, he gave away $10 million to the Lord's work. That brings me to this point. You know, sometimes people put pressure on people to go to the mission field. I got a guy in our church. He's always saying, young man, don't you believe God's calling you to go to the mission field? Don't you believe God's calling you to preach? I heard you teach Sunday school. I know God's called you. Why don't you surrender? And I have to go to him and say, hey, would you quit playing God around our church? Let God call these young men.
Let God show them what he wants them to do. You quit trying to take God's place. But it won't be 3 weeks, he'll be doing it again. R.G. Letourneau, when he died, he had 299 patents that he had registered on dirt moving equipment, things that he invented to do the job easier, faster. And by that 1959, he was giving away 90% of everything he made to the Lord's work, living on 10%. Of course, if you're making $10 million, that means he's still got $1 million to live on. I guess you could survive on that, couldn't you? But my point is, it might be the reason he started making so much was because he got God in his finances. You want God to bless you? Prove that you love souls like God loves souls. God gave his best for sinners. When are we going to be willing to do that? Do you love missions? Prove it. Do you love your family? Prove it. How does a man prove that he loves his family? He denies himself. He gives himself for his family. He doesn't have to have his way all the time. He's not a fundamental independent Baptist. I'm the head of this home. Everybody does what I say. No, the guy that does that all the time, amen, is trying to prove that he is. Because he knows he's not. You don't have to tell anybody you're the head of the home if you're the head of the home. Everybody knows you are. The guy that's always saying that, amen, he's insecure. And he's bossy. And he's a bully. You don't have to tell them you're the head of the home. Just knock all that off. Because now everybody's going to know. When you start bossing her like that and telling her, I'm the head of this home, and the kids are going to say, we heard the preacher talking about that. Why give to missions? It's not a commandment. Somebody gave to get the gospel to us. And it proves the sincerity of our love, that it's genuine. You're not going to give away your money unless you mean business. You're going to mean business. Especially if you really honestly pray and say, Lord, what would you have me to give to missions for the next 52 Sundays in a row? Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Not my will, thy will be done. I'm willing. You're able. Show me, Lord. I'll do what you speak to my heart to do. You say, I tried that last year and it didn't work out. We'll try it again this year. Amen. Don't worry about it. Last year, it's over. Right. Concern yourself about this year. Find out what God wants you to do now. If you'll pray and mean it and ask God to show you what he wants you to give, it won't matter if it's more, less, the same. It won't matter because you're doing what God wants you to do. But if you just want to feel better about yourself and take this big leap of faith, there's liable to be a pandemic. Business is shutting down. Money's not flowing. And you say, man, it's been a rough year. I'm not saying you didn't pray and ask the Lord last year. But I'm saying if you'll pray and really mean business this year, you at least know things can change over the space of a year. And God knows what that could be. And you don't know what that's going to be. But if you'll pray, say, Lord, what do you want me to do? He can show you. You can do it. And God will be glorified. And it might not be as much as you want to give. Then again, it may be way more than you want to give. But if you'll do what God wants you to do, he'll be pleased. And in the end, you'll be pleased. And you'll shout the victory. And God will be glorified. And sinners will get saved because missionaries will get sent around the world. And that forwardness of others will just keep carrying the gospel to the regions beyond.